Morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. If you want to follow it in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 994. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry ran out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen.
Thank you, Anne. So we continue on our summer series, Plan A. What is it God wants the church to be as we seek to serve him? And this morning we're going to look at what it means to be a prepared community. A prepared community. And that story reminds us of the need to be prepared. It falls within a number of stories in Matthew's Gospel, around chapters 24, 25, that basically ask followers of Jesus this very simple question: are you ready? Are you ready? It's doing so particularly in light of the fact that Jesus is saying that there will come a time when he will come back to this earth and draw history as we know it to an end, when he will reign all in all, and his kingdom of peace and love and light will be secure. And he's asking the question, are you ready for that moment? Will you be welcomed in at that moment? Now, that in a sense is a question for those who are alive when that happens. For others of us, the truth is that we will meet the Lord ahead of that day. We will die, or at least our bodies will give up the ghost, and we, what is essentially us, will go to be with him. This is the heart of what we believe as Christians. But the question is, at that point, will he welcome us? Or shut the door to us? Just want to play an extract from what now is an old song. The words will appear on the screen as we go through it. And we'll just listen to it. Let its words speak to you. It picks up some words from Matthew chapter 24. not actually this parable, but this parable follows on. And then we'll come back to this parable of the 10 virgins. This morning, that a prepared church is a church in which we're ready to meet our Saviour. That simply. A prepared church is one where its people are ready to meet their Saviour. And let's just look through this parable that Jesus tells, the parable that Anne read for us. I'm going to go through it little bit by little bit and then try and bring some teaching out of that. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridesmaids. They would have been virgins, that was understood. They wouldn't have been terribly old, because in those days brides were probably just 13 or 14 years old. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven's like this. There are 10 virgins who take their lamps and go out to meet the bridegroom. Part of what happened in the context of a wedding in Jesus' day was that the bridegroom, at a time of his choosing, would process on the day when it was known he would process, but he would process with his friends to the bride's house. And they didn't have a honeymoon. They just had 7 days' receptions. If you could afford it, it went on longer. But people went and they were welcome and they were fed. It was an ongoing feast, a time of celebration, of music and dancing. And the bridesmaids would go out to meet the bridegroom and they would, if you like, accompany the bridegroom to the bride's house, which is where the wedding would actually take place. And one of the features of weddings was that everybody would carry a lamp in the procession. Not just the bridesmaids, everybody would carry a lamp. And it was carrying a lit lamp that got you in to the reception. So everybody going to the wedding was carrying a lamp. But the bridesmaids had a particularly important and symbolic one. They were the ones who went ahead of the rest of the procession. They'd gone out to welcome the bridegroom on his way to the bride and to accompany him to her. So what we've got here is a picture in which the bridesmaids represent Christ followers. They represent you and me. They represent the people who make up the body of Christ and have done down through the ages. But then we're told a little bit more about them. 5 of them were foolish. And 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. Now, can I just say that the 5 and 5, the 50% split, is purely an illustration. It's not saying this is true of 50% of the church, that 50% of you are 50% of you are foolish and 50% of you are wise. Be careful which way I look when I say that. But What was the issue? Well, the issue was that the wise ones had their oil lamps, but they took an extra supply of oil with them. They knew that there would come a point when the oil they had would run out. I mean, it's a bit like, I suppose, the illustration today was, you know, there is the wise Christian who makes sure that they take their charger when they go away with their mobile phone, and there is the foolish Christian who doesn't take their charger with them when they go away with their mobile phone. And it is annoying when you realise you've forgotten it and you're trying to just keep that little bit of charge that you've got just in case there's an important call you need to make or need to receive. Well, the foolish ones didn't take a flask of extra oil. That tells us that only some were taking their calling as bridesmaids seriously. Five were taking it seriously. Five were prepared. Five were saying, well, it won't really matter, will it? When in fact, it did. The thing is, they're all dressed up to the nines. They're all looking like bridesmaids. They all look right, but only half have oil. We talk sometimes about nominal Christians. And true Christians. Don't really like those terms. But the nominal Christian is the one in whom there is the outward appearance of being a Christian. And these bridesmaids had the outward appearance of being bridesmaids. But they weren't true bridesmaids because they weren't making sure they would be ready to serve the bride whenever the call came. And we are called here to ask ourselves, when we say, are we ready? Is mine a religion that is an outward thing that has to do with the externals? Or is it about internal power? Which is it? We'll come back to that. And then we're told the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, can I point out, because, you know, whenever I'd read this before, I'd missed this. It's not just the foolish bridesmaids that get drowsy and go to sleep. They all do. Because actually there comes a time when you're living all out, when you actually just need to rest. It's partly what we've been saying when we've been looking at the emotionally healthy spirituality stuff. But actually, it is important that if we're going to be active, we also need time just to abide with God. To rest. Yes, they needed to rest. They fell asleep. We're called to do our work, and we're allowed to rest. The question is, if we're called to action, if we need to wake up and get on with it, are we ready? And the parable tells us at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. He's coming, the procession's coming. You as bridesmaids, it's your time to come and meet him and take him to the bride's house. Are you ready? That question again. And then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. Trimmed their lamps means prepare them. Make sure they're burning properly. We're taught with candles, or we used to talk with candles about trimming the wick so that it burns right. It's the same sort of thing. They trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Jesus is not saying it's all right for the half of the bridesmaids to be selfish and keep the oil to themselves. He's not saying that. He's commending them because they had got oil. And it was their responsibility to have oil. And it was the responsibility of the foolish bridesmaids to have oil too. And what Jesus is saying here is that when it comes to the crunch, it is impossible to borrow faith. It is impossible to borrow the resource of the Spirit. It is impossible to borrow someone else's salvation. It is impossible to borrow someone else's spiritual life. It is impossible to borrow someone else's memorization of Scripture. It is impossible to borrow someone else's discipleship. It is impossible to borrow someone else's status of being born again. Because those things have to be ours. We are offered them. Have we taken the gift that is offered? It's impossible to borrow faith. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And once the door was shut, the door was shut. The question is, are we ready to go on with Christ? As those bridesmaids who had the oil had sufficient. Later, we're told, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Empty lamps did not gain entrance. Therefore, says Jesus, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be ready. Because an unprepared life is a tragedy. Especially if it has been going through the motions of doing the religion thing, but has never got to the heart of it. You can come to church Sunday by Sunday for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You can say the Lord's Prayer every night before you go to sleep. You can seek to keep the Ten Commandments. You could try to love your neighbor as yourself. Do as you would be done by, the golden rule, which is present in all the great religions of the world, one way or another. You can do all those things. But unless you know the bridegroom, and unless you receive the gifts he gives for living, none of those things amount to a hill of beans, as they say in some parts of the world. They counts for nothing. We're told in Ephesians by the Apostle Paul about how it's Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you need, oh, it's very nice to be able to, but you don't need to be able to recite the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed at the drop of a hat. You don't need, though we need people in the church who have the resource of having a thought through theology as an underpinning for their faith, but it's not that everybody can do it. But that we should have a relationship with Christ and be growing into his likeness is absolutely core. The theology that any one of us actually needs is contained in 25 words and should be memorized by us all, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in essence, that's what Paul is saying there. Look, I've given you all these people, prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, so that you can come to that knowledge and live it out. That's why I've given you these people, because you're to grow like Jesus. And the Apostle Peter said, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We are all called to be witnesses to what Christ has done in our lives. And he wants to prepare us for that. A church phone once went. One of the women of the church was in the church and she was just doing some little job. The minister wasn't around, the church secretary wasn't around. You know, there was nobody around, but she'd got this little job that she'd said she'd do. And she heard the phone going, so she picked up the phone. And the person at the other end said, "Hello?" She said, "Hello?" "I'm desperate. I know that I want to know Jesus, but I don't know how to invite him to be part of my life." At which the woman said, "I'm sorry, the pastor's not here. I can't help you." Every one of us, every single one of us should have it within us, should be prepared to be able to say at any time when the opportunity comes, well, I think this is what you need to do. Or, well, let me just tell you what happened to me, what my story is. But to simply say, can't do that. You see, we're called to be witnesses. And to that end, we might read a bit more of Peter where he says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. But part of the holiness of Christ was about pointing to the Father, and part of our holiness must be about pointing to Jesus. We are to be witnesses like Jesus. And Paul also reminds us that we're to be prepared to be witnesses like Jesus in season and out of season, when the time seems right and when the time doesn't seem right, when the time seems appropriate, when the time doesn't seem appropriate, when the time seems fruitful, when the time seems anything but fruitful. Be prepared. Be witnesses like Jesus all the time. How do we do that? And I want to just suggest two simple things for each of us this morning. Whether we have been following Lord Jesus for 5 days or 50 years. Because my pastor's heart is desperate that everybody here should know what it is to be prepared. Firstly, we need to come to the cross. You see, each and every one of us has issues. That's, I think, what modern society calls them, issues. Jesus was a bit more straight. He called them sins. Those things that we do that fall short of God's glory, those things we do that are not part of God's will for people's life in this world. Paul said, we all fall short of the glory of God. And falling short of the glory of God is sin. And what happens when we sin? Well, the wages of sin, he says, is death. God can't look on sin. He can't look on sinner and let the sinner live. Such is his abhorrence at sin because of his purity. Which is why Jesus, his son, came into the world so that he could take all that sin, all that darkness, everything we have done on his shoulders. And when he went to the cross, he took that there. And when he died on the cross, all that he took with him died there too. And you'll say to me, oh, that's all very well, but you don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know what I've done either. Or thought, or said, or not done, or not said, or not thought. And yes, within this room, there may not be people who have ever murdered, but there are people who would have liked to. There are people in this room who have had abortions or helped others have abortions. There are people in this room who have stolen. There are people in this room who have looked at images on the internet that they wish now they hadn't. There are people in this room who have lied to those they have loved most. There are people in this room who have committed adultery. There are people in this room who had sex outside of marriage. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can do nothing about the past, but as Billy Graham used to say, you can do something about your destiny. Because we can bring our past and we can give it to Jesus, and once we have given it to Jesus, he takes it to the cross, and when he died on the cross, that died. The past died. God, this is another Billy Graham illustration, but I don't mind using it. If he used it, it must be worth using. But God has got tapes of the whole of your life. There is no moment, no incident, no conversation that God does not know, because he was there. And it's all on tape. But the moment we come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Give me a new destiny. God wipes the tapes. The past is dealt with. You are forgiven. And your destiny is now in his hands. And if you want to be ready to meet Jesus, whether it's when he comes in glory, should we live that long? And sometimes I look at the news that I'm seeing today and think, gosh, I'm looking at the middle of the book of Revelation. I'm seeing it happen. Don't take it that I'm saying it's going to happen tomorrow. People have done that throughout history. But what I'm saying is, even if that's not, I'm driving up to Selkirk tomorrow with the family. I hope and pray we'll get there and back. But there's no guarantee. Am I ready? Are you ready? That is the fundamental readiness that we need in the kingdom of God. We need to know we are saved. And it isn't about a feeling, it's about a knowing we have been to God and the transaction is done. Oh, I didn't show you Billy, never mind, he won't mind. But the second thing is this. If we're going to faithfully live the Christian life day by day, if we're always going to be ready for God's call upon us, then we need oil. We need to have a supply of oil. We need the Holy Spirit's anointing on our lives. And Jesus pours out the Spirit into every life that yields itself to him and says, here. And if we feel it's running low, all we need is to come back to him and say, more, Lord. And he delights to give it to us. So that whenever we're called to serve him, in whatever capacity, whether it's to say to somebody on the telephone, this is how you can find Jesus, or whether it's having to be a servant who actually so loves their fellow believers and is so directed by the Lord that they end up having to clean up after some person with Alzheimer's has had an accident That's what it means to love our neighbour as ourselves and to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Will we be among those ready to go in with Christ? Are we among those ready now to walk with Christ wherever he leads us? Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? Is your lamp alight, well-fueled, trimmed, or has it gone out? Are we a prepared community? Because one of the concerns of a prepared community is to keep encouraging one another and saying, are you sure you're where you should be with Jesus? Can I pray for you? Can I help you? Can I be a listening ear? It's one of the reasons we do small groups, is so that we can be there for one another and help one another grow in our life with Jesus. To be the prepared community. Let's pray. I had in my mind a conversation the other day, and it was in my mind, it wasn't an actual conversation. It may even have been a dream that I then remembered, but the conversation went like this. Well, you've had a few people come up front recently, haven't you? It's amazing how often it's the same people who come. I remember saying to this person, and I don't know who it was, I've got nobody in mind, but I just remember saying to them, yeah, but at least they know they need to be prepared, and they need the oil of the anointing. I've been here, and this was what I said, I've been here 16 years. And I have never seen you seek it. We each have to be individually prepared. And frankly, it doesn't matter to me whether you come to the front when we ask for responses or not. That's between you and the Saviour. But what is important is that if coming forward is not for you, I plead with you to make sure that getting alongside with Jesus somewhere is for you. And that you don't just go away from the moment and forget it. But you go away at least committed to going into a room by yourself and just saying, Lord, prepare me. I just want to be full of you so that I can respond to every call you make on my life. I want to be part of this prepared community too. And when we sing our closing song, there will again be the opportunity. If you want to come and just pray a prayer of commitment, we can do that. And if you want to pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, which you feel has perhaps never really taken hold or has grown dim with time, then come and I'll anoint you with oil as a token of what's going on spiritually. us pray. Father, you call us to be right with Jesus, and therefore right with you, in a right place. Doesn't prefer upon us any position of moral superiority over anybody else, because we're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need of the grace of Christ on the cross. We all need what he died for. We all need the cleansing that comes from the shedding of his blood. We all need the life that proceeds from his resurrection. And we need the anointing of your Holy Spirit to live this Christian life day by day, so that we are a community prepared for this day and age. So, Lord, meet with us in this moment and speak into our lives where we know we've walked away and where we've got stuff which we need to bring back and confess and give it back to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to do that, knowing that even though we gave our lives to Christ some time ago and we have consciously sinned since, knowing that even that you will take and wipe out that we might be free. But also, Lord, we want to be a people who are full of your energy, your spirit, your joy, your power. Anoint us again, we pray. Don't let us leave this place with empty flasks, but help us to go with lamps alight and with oil to spare. In the name of Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.